Amen. God bless you. Would you just do me a favor before you're seated? Why don't you turn and just greet two or three people standing around you? Just shake them by the hand and welcome them into the house of the Lord this morning. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We bless you. I declare the blessing and favor of God over you today. While you're doing that, can I get a camera on me? Let me get this camera right here where Elise is. So whoever's producing in the back. Elise, am I on this camera? I want to say a very happy birthday to Miss Sheila Cummings down there in Port St. Lucie, Florida, who's one of our chat hosts who watches us faithfully every Sunday morning. I usually send videos out to everybody, but because her birthday is today, happy birthday, Sheila. I love you, baby. I hope you have an amazing day, and I hope Willie treats you like the queen that you are. Love you, darling. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go back to the book of Revelation, and the church said, ooh, the book of Revelation. I'll read a verse, and then we'll pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has. I know I messed up, and I let you be seated, but please, please, could you just for 30 seconds more stand to your feet out of reverence for the word of the living God? I want to read the word, and I want to create a culture of honor in this place where we honor and reverence the word of God. By when we get ready to preach and we read it, we stand in reverence to that. And I'm only reading a few verses, and then you can be seated. Amen. Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I want to talk to us today. I want to piggyback on what I started last week and maybe finish it this week. I want to talk to us today about our responsibility to govern. Our responsibility to govern. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, God. This beautiful Sunday morning to come out and to honor you, to sing songs of adoration and appreciation and praise to you, God. Thank you for an anointed worship team and tech team and all the teams that helped make today happen, God. Thank you that we were able to come in freely with our minds and our hearts focused on you, honoring you, worshiping you, glorifying you. And so, God, as we get ready to go into the word today, I pray, Lord, that you would cause my mind to be sharp today, that I would only say what needs to be said. God, that our hearts would be prepared to receive the word of the Lord today. Speak to our hearts and change our lives. This Sunday morning is my prayer, God, and at the end, we will make sure we give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we all say amen. Amen, amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you, fellas. I'll let you be seated with your families for just a moment, and I'll bring you back up here in just a little bit to help me close this service out. Growing up in church, I got saved at 16, and I grew up in church, grew up in a Pentecostal church, and the church that I was in at that particular time, we had a Sunday morning, we had a Sunday night, we had a midweek service, and then occasionally we would have prayer on Friday nights or whatever night that was. But what I remember in particular was when you came out on Sunday night, the crowd was typically a little smaller than the Sunday morning crowd. It was a little more intimate. We all kind of knew each other. We knew there wasn't going to be a lot of guests in the Sunday night service. And we would come together, and for whatever reason, our pastor at that particular time saw it appropriate to have a testimony part built into the service. Anybody ever grow up with testimony service or testimony time during your Sunday night or during your prayer meeting? And then people would stand up and testify. And I remember just being newly saved saved and sitting in those Sunday night service because I was hungry for the Lord. I was hungry for the word of the Lord and just being with God's people and being in his presence. I would go to every service. And I remember the Sunday night testimony service. And we would have the old time saints stand up and they would give their testimony. And I remember them talking. It was actually kind of arduous. It wasn't the kind of testimony that made you want to run around the church most of the time. But the way that they would testify is they would talk about how terrible their lives were. And then they would always conclude it with, "And I can't wait for Jesus to come and take us away. I can't wait for the Jesus to come and rapture me away. I can't wait for the Lord to come and take me out of this place." As I thought about that, a lot of the songs that we sung from hymnals. Does anybody remember hymnals? Y'all remember the hymns? What's your favorite hymn? "Just As I Am." Who else got a favorite hymn? Just yell them out. What's your favorite hymn? "Amazing Grace." Love that one. What? Anybody remember this one? It started off this way. "Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll..." Y'all remember that? I thought that was a wild one myself. I love that one. What about "Win the Roll"? Y'all remember that? Yeah. Yeah, we would testify about being whisked away. And it was because a lot of the songs that we would sing would be about getting taken away, being raptured away, being sucked off the planet, being, you know, taken away by Jesus. And we would sing a lot of those. And I love the hymns. I love those old songs. I love testimonies. I love all of that. But we would sing about heaven. We dream about heaven. We would talk about how we can't wait to get out of here. We talk about how the world just feels like it's falling apart. And, you know, I hope Jesus... We would say, "The world's falling apart. I hope Jesus comes back here and does something about this mess." I remember seeing bumper stickers saying, "Jesus is going to come back and fix this," or "Jesus is going to come back and deal with this." Or, you know, we would say that kind of in a very threatening manner to people who are acting up and acting out, like, "You better mind your P's and Q's. Jesus is getting ready to come back and he get ready to deal with your foolishness." And so we would say that. Or we would say, you know, the old time saints during testimonies, like, "I'm just holding on until Jesus comes. I'm just barely making. I'm going to hold on until Jesus comes." And I grew up with that, and we did that, and I would shout with them, and I'd shout during the hymns, and I would sing the "Some Glad Morning When This Life Is Over, I'll Fly Away." I still like that song, and so I'm not preaching against that, so don't send me any hate mail. And listen, let me just say this to you. I wholeheartedly believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe one day he is coming back. I believe that with all of my heart. But here's the question that I wanted to ask you today, and I want to make sure that I don't want to offend anybody or get anybody upset. Maybe, who am I kidding? Yes, I do. I love doing this stuff. But what if Jesus, what if his plan was actually to leave you here? What if his plan was not to suck you off the planet and take you behind another planet and hide you for a period of time, and then surprise, we're back? And then I'm not saying I don't believe the rapture. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, but what if when Jesus came, that he came to establish a kingdom and a government and not just another religion on the earth? And so my question to us today is, what if Jesus wants us here to govern in authority with a kingdom perspective that changes lives, that changes cultures, that changes entire nations? And if we were honest, many in the church today, in the American church culture, many today have an escape plan instead of an assignment plan. Ask your neighbor, are you trying to escape or are you on assignment? Just ask them. I wait for an answer, though. Wait for an answer. Are you trying to get out of here? Are you on assignment or are you trying to escape? We talk more about getting out of here than we do about changing things while we are here. Listen to this. We've gotten good at surviving, but not always good at ruling. We've been trained to endure, but we've not been taught to occupy until he comes. I wish I had somebody to help me in here. From Genesis to Revelation, the plan of God was never for his people to hide from the world. It was for his people to bring his rule into the world. Can you say amen? Turn around, touching people behind you and say, I don't know about you, but I'm on assignment. I ain't looking to get out of here. I'm not looking to escape. I'm not looking to try to get taken off the planet and hidden somewhere. No. I'm here on purpose. I'm here on assignment. Come on. We've taught people for years the only reason you got saved was so you can go to heaven and avoid hell. But what if the reason you got saved wasn't just so you can avoid heaven and go to hell, but what if it was so that you can leverage heaven into the earth? What if that's the reason you got saved? Huh? Jesus taught us point number one, and I've only gotten three here. Point number one, Jesus taught us to pray for heaven's government on earth. This may shock you, but Jesus did not come to earth to be a religious figure. He came to earth to be a governmental agent. He didn't come to be religious. He came to bring a government. Watch what the prophet Isaiah said. You hear this at Christmas, and we read it at Christmas, and we go, what a great Christmas text this is. But it really isn't just the Christmas text. This is a text that has kingdom language in it and governmental language in it. The prophet Isaiah said, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And we've reduced that and made it a Christmas thing, and we should celebrate that and honor that as a Christmas prophecy. But more importantly than that, it was Jesus coming to establish a kingdom and set up a governmental rule and reign on the earth as it is in heaven. Notice that Isaiah didn't say, and of the increase of his religion and peace. It said, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That means that the rule, the authority, and the influence of King Jesus is not static. It's ever expanding, ever advancing, and touch your neighbor and tell him, unstoppable. Unstoppable. Now we see this tension played out in the Gospels in Matthew chapter number 4. In the very beginning, Matthew chapter 4, Satan comes to Jesus and tempts him by taking him up on a mountain. And when he takes him up on the mountain, he says, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. The enemy offered Jesus a shortcut. He offered him authority without a cross. He offered him glory without sacrifice. But when somebody, thanks be unto God, Jesus refused. When you fast forward and go to the end of that same gospel, Matthew chapter 4, fast forward to Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, after the cross, after the resurrection, after his triumph over sin, death, and the grave, Jesus says this. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Do you see it? The devil offered him authority if he would bow, and Jesus won the authority, took the authority by laying his life down. He didn't just get the authority in heaven, he got it in earth too, which makes me consider in the book of Luke chapter 19, I believe it is, somewhere around the 10th verse, where Jesus said that he came to save that which was lost, not that who was lost. Did he come to save people? Yes. But in Luke's gospel, it said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Which was lost? Where was it lost? It was lost in the garden when Adam fell and Adam sinned. He lost dominion. He lost authority. He lost rulership. That's why Paul said in Corinthians that Satan is the ruler and the principalities of this earth. Oh, I'm going to mess you up before I get to the end of this thing. You either be shouting or stoning me. I don't know which it'll be. Touch your neighbor and tell him he's got all authority. And that authority is not just a present reality. Watch this. It is a future certainty. The end of the story has been written. And I read it to you in our text. Until the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's heaven's announcement of victory. Jesus secured it on the cross, and one day it'll be manifested in full. The kingdoms of business, politics, education, family, culture, every sphere will one day bow its knee to the Lordship of King Jesus. That's why he taught us to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord doesn't have to pray it. It's your prayer. And it's this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know I said it last week, and I'm going to rehearse it again this week. Just like the angels execute God's will in heaven, the church is meant to execute God's will on earth. Listen, we are not waiting here for an escape. We are here enforcing his reign, advancing his influence, and governing the earth with the kingdom perspective until he comes back. Hallelujah. Quit trying to get off the planet and take your rightful position. Your right. He said, all authority has been given to me. And right after that, he looked at Noriel and said, now go into all the nations. I have the authority. Now I'm giving it to you. Go. He didn't come to establish another religion. He come to bring a kingdom. He come to bring a government to rule and to reign. Go back to the garden. What was the very first thing God told Adam and Eve? Have dominion over the earth. Subdue it. Subdue it. Have dominion. Be fruitful and multiply. Multiply your light. Touch your neighbor and say, they had light on them. Yeah, just read the book of Psalms. Who is man that you were mindful of him? You made him a little bit lower than the angels, and you crowned him with your... You were made in the image and in the likeness of your Father. Your image and the likeness of your Father is that he is light, John chapter 1. You are a light bearer. You are an image bearer. You are a glory bearer. You are to extend the light of God, the glory of God, and the image of God on earth as it is. Come on, somebody. It's our responsibility. And yet we've raised up a church in the American church evangelical culture that says hide and escape, or hold on and barely make it and hope one day you get off the planet. And is that what Jesus died on the cross to leave here? I thought he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you over there hiding. Come on, the kingdom of God is like a city that's on a hill. Come on, somebody. Let your light shine, baby. We over here cowering and hiding. Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to cower and hide. He died on the cross. He come to save that which was lost. The authority and the dominion and the light that was in him. Come, my God, I feel this. And maybe that's why when you get to John chapter 17, Jesus, when he was praying, go read it in John chapter 17. He says this. He said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Talking about his disciples. If you're a disciple, shout, I'm a disciple. I'm a disciple. If you're a follower, shout, I'm a follower. Then this prayer, he's talking to God, and he's talking about you, and this is what he said. He said, I do not pray that you should take Riverside Church out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. As you sent me into the world, I also send Riverside into the world. If Jesus' main goal was to get us out of here quickly, he would have prayed differently. But instead, he specifically asked the Father, leave them. Ooh. Okay. All right. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. He used a word there that he knew that the people that he was talking to, that was influenced heavily by Roman government, he used this word when he said, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you. He used this word apostello. Apostello. It's the root word where we get apostle. Okay? In church, we think of an apostle as a deeply spiritual title. In fact, there's been a resurgence and a revival of this word apostle. And now we got people all over the place. You know, it was like they evangelists used to be popular. Being a pastor used to be popular. Being a minister used to be popular. And because we felt like those got mitigated and delegated or shrunk down, we had to come up with a bigger title to make us sound more spiritual and more. And we come up apostle. And now we got people calling each other apostles. Don't you ever call me an apostle. I don't want to hear that. I'm pastor. I know my role. I know my lane. I'm a shepherd. I've got the bites of sheep on my body to show you I am a shepherd. But watch what he said. He said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And he uses that word apostello, which is the word where we get apostle. Jesus knew what he was doing when he said that word, because in first century Rome, the word apostle was not a religious word at all. The church made it a religious word, but when Jesus was using it, do you know it was not a religious word at all? That the word apostle was actually meant a cluster of ships led by an apostle. And what they would do is when Rome would go and conquer territories and they would go and conquer lands, Roman Empire would send, the emperor would send an apostle to go to the land that was recently conquered, and that apostle would show up, this cluster of ships would show up with these people, and their goal was to go into those lands, those hamlets, those villages, those towns that were recently conquered by Rome, and their job was to indoctrinate and to teach, watch this, and disciple them into Roman culture. They said, here's how they talk in Rome. Here's how they govern in Rome. Here's how they behave in Rome. Here's how they walk, talk, eat, sleep. This is how we do it in Rome. And because we took you over, you're going to behave just like we are back there. You're going to act like Rome. That's what the apostles did. They went and indoctrinated and taught them to govern and be ruled like Rome. Why? So just in case the emperor of Rome decided to visit that town, that hamlet, that city, that village, in case he decided and he stepped off the ship onto that soil, he wasn't stepping onto foreign soil. He was stepping on the soil that looked like where he just came from. They would make the cities look like Rome, act like Rome. The culture would become like Rome. So when the emperor got there, he felt like he was at home. And he thought, you know what? I think I'll stay here for a while. Jesus said, you sent me, I'm sending them. It's your responsibility. Slap your neighbor and say, it's your turn. To do what? It's your job and my job. Listen, not just to come to church on Sunday and sing about I'll fly away. Your job and my job is way more than that. It's to go out and be apostello. It's to go into your communities, into your schools, into your homes, into where you work, and bring light and start to teach and indoctrinate and change the atmosphere and change the culture. What would happen if Riverside Church here in Aberdeen or here in Hartford County, we really took that to heart and we started acting like that? Then maybe when the emperor shows up, when the king shows up, he'll step onto soil and say, this feels familiar to me. This looks like heaven on earth. Come on, somebody. This looks like home. Maybe I'll stay here a while. What if what's keeping Jesus at bay isn't seven trumpets blowing? What if it's that the church hasn't taken its rightful authority to govern, rule, and reign on? So, apostello, being apostolic, to rule and to reign. Third point, and I'll get out of your way. I told you I was going to get through this quick, maybe. Creation, according to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, listen to this verse. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. I'm going to take a line from Noriel. What's that mean in modern day vernacular? Here's what it means. The earth is eagerly waiting. One translation says, is standing on tippy toe, looking and waiting for the sons and daughters of the Most High God to take their active role, active position, to take their active role in rulership and governorship. They are waiting for the revealing of the sons of God and the daughters of God. Wave your hand at me if you're a son or a daughter of the Most High. Creation is eagerly waiting on you. In Genesis chapter 1, God gave humanity a governing mandate. Let them have dominion, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. What the earth is waiting for is not for the church to get taken away, but waiting for me and you to take our rightful position, to leverage into the earth heaven's atmosphere, to leverage into the earth the culture of heaven. That's why when Jesus came, he taught everything he pointed at. He said, this is like the kingdom, and that is like the kingdom. The kingdom's like a vineyard. The kingdom's like a treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom's like a mustard seed. The kingdom's like a fig tree. The kingdom. That's all he talked about. That's all he preached about. That's what he was bringing in to his disciples. When I told you this last week, when Jesus was getting ready to ascend in Acts chapter 1, they weren't asking, when are you going to take us with you? They said, when are we going to set up the kingdom? They were kingdom-minded people looking to leverage in to the earth the kingdom of God. And we've got a church that's not looking to leverage anything into the earth. We're looking to try to escape the earth. And Jesus said, let your kingdom come. Where? On the earth. Let your will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Touch your neighbor and tell him, stop trying to get away. Stop trying to escape. The Bible says this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Touch your neighbor and say, it belongs to him. But look what it says in Psalm 115. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But watch this. But the earth he has given to the children of men. Touch your other neighbor and say, this is my jurisdiction. No. You didn't say it like you believed it. I need you to say it like you. Are you a governor? Come on. Do you have authority? Now, you sound weak and emaciated if you were to ask me. You sound uncertain. You sound like maybe I do, maybe I don't. I'm not sure if I belong. No. This is my jurisdiction. This is my watch. God put me in this territory. I'm not over in China. I'm not over in Uganda. I'm in Aberdeen, Maryland. This is my watch. This is my territory. This is where he established me. This is where he put me. This is where he said, leverage it in here. Bring it in here. Heaven on earth, bring it here. Come on, somebody. You ought to get excited about that and give God praise in here. This is your jurisdiction. If you don't like how it looks or the way it's going, don't blame God and don't blame the devil. Maybe it's because we have not been walking in the authority that he won for us on Calvary. We look at Calvary and go, oh, thank God he went there. Now I'm saved and I'm not going to go to hell. The disciples never talked about that, by the way. There was no fear consciousness of them about going to hell. They just didn't want to miss the kingdom. They wanted to make sure they had. We got everybody so fear conscious and worrying about hell that we're missing the kingdom. And we wonder, where's the kingdom? It's hidden on Sunday mornings between 11 and 12. In a church building all across this country. That's where the kingdom is. And we're really good in the building from between 11 and 12. But then after that, I mean, that right there in and of itself is enough. I want to throw this microphone back there, but I know Karen will have a cow and she'll kill me later. Touch your neighbor and tell him, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill which cannot be hidden. Let me tell you something about light. Light doesn't just survive. Light transforms. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You are to transform, change, dispel darkness. Ooh, my God. Come on, Jeremiah. Come on, Zach, musicians, whoever's coming. If the Bible, if what I read to you is true, and I know that it is because it's coming out of the Word of God, Romans 8:19 is telling us that all creation is watching and waiting to see if you and I will step in to our kingdom assignment. That means this isn't just a theological idea. It is a Monday morning reality. It's not just something to shout about on a Sunday. It's something that you need to practice on a Monday. What does that look like? It looks like this. Write this down if you're a note taker. Govern your home with kingdom culture. Don't let the culture set the tone in your house. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God do that. How? Pray over your children. Pray over your spouse. Pray over your home. Create a home atmosphere that reflects heaven. If there's a little bit of chaos, stand up and be the peace into that chaos. Speak peace over that chaos. Choose faith instead of fear, and worship instead of worry. Learn to govern your home with the culture of the kingdom. If you don't know what that looks like, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the red letters. Jesus talks to you about what the culture of the kingdom looks like. Govern your home. Start there. You know how I did it in my house? I prayed over my kids. When they were babies, I carried them around and I prayed over them. I'd pray over their beds before they would get in them. I'd pray over my home. There were certain things that I would permit, and there were other things I didn't allow. You're not going to disrespect your mama in this house. You're going to learn to honor your mother and your father so that your days will be long upon the earth. Because if you don't honor us, your days will be short upon the earth. I'll make sure of it. Where you at, Jace? Jace, where's he at? He's outside. He'll come and tell you that's true. That's true. I scared the daylights out of that boy one time when he was about, how old was he, 13? He's about 13, 14 years old. And you know, when you're 13, 14, you got some things going on hormonally in your body. And, you know, he was lipping off to his mama. He was lipping off to his mama. He was saying some things to her, and I listened to her for about a week. About a week, I let this go. I didn't say anything. I let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And finally, he said something. I don't know what caused. Something snapped in my brain, and I jumped up. And when I jumped up, he went, this is way before he got bigger than me, so I was still. And he went like that, and I think I yelled something threatening to him, and he took off, and he went running down the hallway. And then he ran and jumped in his bed. And he pulled the blankets and everything up over his head. And I was hot on his heels to follow him down that bedroom. And I yanked those pillows and blankets off. And I jumped on top of that bed. And I put my hand on his chest and pushed it in. And got this close to his face. And I said, don't you ever talk to my wife like that again. Don't you ever disrespect your mama like that again. Don't you? And I was... I got done. I got up. He was petrified. Sky was in the next room. She was petrified. I was walking down the hallway. I knew they couldn't see me, and I was smiling. I was like, I get in the bedroom. Tina heard it all. Tina was crying. I said, baby, what's the matter? She goes, did you kill him? I was rolling. I was laughing. She said, why are you laughing? I said, you should have seen the look on his face. I scared the devil out of that. I mean, could I do it to him now? Probably not. He's 6'4". He's... Could I do it, Mama? Mama said I could do it. There were certain things we would allow and not allow. My kids didn't cuss in my house. There ain't no cussing going on in heaven. There ain't no cussing going on in my house. I can't get no help in here. I can't get no help in here. So you got to learn to govern your home. Let me hurry. Write this down. Govern your workplace with kingdom influence. Here it goes. You might not be the boss, but you're an ambassador of the king. Watch this. Speak life into negative situations. Demonstrate integrity when everybody else is cutting corners. Be the person that refuses to gossip, refuses to compromise, refuses to cheat, and exhibits and demonstrates a Christ-like character in the workplace. Number three, govern your community with kingdom action. Volunteer, serve, pray, mentor, feed the hungry, work for justice. Be the kind of believer that runs towards darkness with light and not hide in a safe place. Number four, govern your own mind and your heart with kingdom culture. 2 Corinthians, I preached on this for a month. Take every thought into captivity. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The first place kingdom governance needs to take place is in you. When fear comes in, govern your emotions by declaring the promises of God. When temptation comes in, govern your will by choosing righteousness. Number five, govern your prayers and words. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is not begging for escape. It's declaring or leveraging heaven's policies into the earth's problems, earth's difficulties, earth's troubles. It's bringing heaven's policies into that. When you pray over a situation, watch this, you are legislating spiritually on behalf of heaven. Your kingdom assignment starts now. Look at the people sitting next to you. Look them in the eyeball and say, your kingdom assignment starts now. I'm commissioning you and I'm sending you out. Watch this. If you belong to Jesus, wave at me if you belong to Jesus. You're not just going to the kingdom one day. You're carrying the kingdom on the inside of you already. You didn't hear me? You didn't hear me? You didn't hear me? If you belong to Jesus, you're not just going to the kingdom. You're carrying the kingdom. Greater is he that is in me. Stand to your feet. That means this. Every place your feet touch this week is an opportunity to advance kingdom's agenda, heaven's agenda, and push back hell's influence. Let the church say, pick your territory. Pick your territory. This is what you're going to do. For the next 7 days, I issue a challenge. I'm issuing you a challenge for the next 7 days. Number one, pick your territory. Whether it's your home, your job, your school, your neighborhood, whatever it is, decide right now and say, this ground I am claiming for the kingdom for the next 7 days. I'm declaring this for the kingdom for the next 7 days. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to pray over it every single morning. Before you get your phone and look at it, before you go brush your teeth, before you do anything, when your eyeballs pop open, I want you to think about your territory that you're claiming, and I want you to begin to pray over that thing. If it's a person, pray over that person. If it's your home, pray over your home, your job, whatever. Pray over it every morning and say, Father, I declare your kingdom come and your will be done at my job today. Your kingdom come, your will be done at my school today. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my house today. Whatever it is, name it, declare it, and pray over it. Number three, practice kingdom culture in it. How? Stop complaining and start blessing. You didn't want to hear that because you got so in depth or so into complaining. You're so proficient at complaining, you don't know how to bless. If you're part of the kingdom culture knows how to bless. And when you go into your job, don't complain about it, bless. Don't complain about your school, bless it. Don't complain about the house, bless it. Don't complain about the job, bless it. Don't go into the bank and look at your bank account and complain about it. Start speaking blessings over it. Come on. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Why? Because you were created in the image and likeness of God. When God got ready to create something, he spoke it. And if Jesus came to save that which was lost, he gave you that dominion and that authority. That means whatever you... And you've been complaining and wondering why your house is falling apart. You've been complaining and wondering why your marriage is falling apart. You've been complaining and wondering why your finances haven't been there. Bless it. Speak blessings over it and stop complaining about it. Practice kingdom culture. You start getting fearful, replace it with faith. Replace gossip with encouragement. Number four, push darkness back. If you see someone hurting, step in. If you see sin trying to dominate, shine the light of truth on it. We did that just the other day. Number five, proclaim the King in it. Don't just live quietly hoping people will notice you're a Christian. Tell them why you live the way that you live. Let them know why you pray over your meal at the Cracker Barrel. You go to Cracker Barrel when mom's in there, everybody gonna know Mama Gail's in the Cracker Barrel. You think she don't pray like that? She pray like that at the house. Like, my God, we're just having dinner. And she's like, Lord Jesus. Got that stank face on when she does that. What are we doing? We're having mashed potatoes here. What's going on? Bless those mashed potatoes and pray all the carbohydrates out of them, mama. All right, Riverside Church, here you go. I declare over you, I commission you, I speak over to you, go rule your territory this week. Advance the kingdom of God where God has planted you. Come back next Sunday ready to testify and ready to tell your story about how God gave you victory and how the King was victorious in your territory. Can you say amen? Well, that's all I have. I hope you got something. You're looking at me like I got to keep preaching. I have nothing else for you. Give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Go claim your territory. Be the agent. Be the apostello. Be the ambassador in your territory. Push darkness back once and for all. Stop cowering and hiding. Know that all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to Jesus. So now go ye therefore and claim your territory and claim this territory once and for all for the kingdom of God. Noria, are you closing today? Come on, baby. I'm done. On the count of three, give God the craziest hand clap of praise and shout you can. One, two, three. Give him praise.